Well, what would it be like to walk on water? Peter can tell you, because Peter had the opportunity to do just that with Jesus. Now, if you look at the life of Peter, and actually we have over the last couple of weeks, you will see that Peter's life is an incredible adventure. And it began when Jesus went on a fishing trip with him, and he looked at Peter and said, "Listen, I want you to come follow me and be fishers of men and women for the rest of your life." And so at the call of God, what did Peter do? He dropped everything in his life, and he went and he followed Jesus on this incredible adventure. And then one day, Peter found himself in a boat with the rest of the disciples, and they were out on the stormy seas, and a storm came up, and Jesus was where? He was asleep at the stern of this ship, and they were all afraid, and they went to Jesus and said, "Jesus, what's going on here?" And Jesus says, "Why do you have so little faith?" And he calmed the storm, and they were all saved. And so Peter realizes that the adventure is not always a rose garden either, that there's storms in life and there are challenges. And then today we discover that one day Jesus was in the stormy seas on the water. They were in a boat on stormy seas again, and he was walking on water. And Peter says, "I want to continue this adventure. Call me out of the boat. I want to step out in faith. I want to walk on water with you, Christ Jesus, my Lord." You see, following Jesus is an adventure. And because Christ wants to give you a new life. And whenever Jesus gives you a new life, whenever a new life happens or when something new happens in your life, then change is a natural result of that. Storms and trials and uncertainty are the result of that. And we need to take leaps of faith and trust in the power of God. I mean, what an incredible ride this Christ adventure is. And if you look up the word adventure in the dictionary, a simple definition would be an undertaking involving danger, an undertaking involving unknown risk, an undertaking involving exciting and remarkable events and results. This reminds me of an event that Aaron and I attended about 2 months ago. In the mail, I received a postcard about 4 months ago that invited me to this event called the Ohio Renewal Project. And it said it was a pastor's briefing where they were inviting local pastors from Ohio, and the theme for the day or the 2-day event was Rediscovering God in America. And there were some politicians' names there that were familiar to me. And it was this opportunity for evangelicals to get together and celebrate with politicians who had faith and other pastors who had faith. And that's all the information I had was this little card inviting me to do this. And there was a phone number, no website. I couldn't find them anywhere on the web. I called this phone number, and it wasn't even anybody from the Ohio Renewal Project that answered the phone. It was an answering service who basically were just taking reservations. They couldn't tell me anything about it. So here I am. I have no clue what this is or what's going on. I have to plan 2 days out of our life, and they want me to invite my spouse. I'm taking Aaron with me, and I have no idea where we're going or what we're doing. All I know is they want to put us up in the Hilton, the Garden Resort in Cincinnati. They want to feed us for 2 days and take care of all of our expenses. And I'm thinking, okay, this is not reality, right? How often do you get invitations like that, okay? And so I was a little bit skeptical, but something in my heart said, go and do it. Now, you have to understand, this is contrary to who I am as a human being, because whenever we go anywhere on vacation or we take a trip that we haven't been before, I'm on the internet and I'm scanning and scouring for photographs of what the campsite looks like, what the camp store looks like, what the amenities at the place looks like. I'm making sure that I know of all the places that you can visit around where we're going. I mean, I want to go on vacation and have no surprises. But the sad part about it is we always show up and it's like I've been there before. Well, the truth is I have, because I've done enough research that it isn't a new place anymore. And so for me, I'm constantly working to make sure that I surround myself with the familiar, and I constantly surround myself with the comfort zone. So when I stepped out on the Ohio Renewal Project experience, it was new for me, but how incredible it was. We showed up at this hotel, the Hilton Garden Resort Inn at downtown Cincinnati, and I walked in there, and I looked at Aaron, and I said, "We're not supposed to be in a place like this. This is amazing." I mean, it was unbelievable. I said, "We can't afford a place like this." So we walked up to the counter, gave him our names, said, "Yep, you're registered. Oh, and we've already upgraded you to the honeymoon suite, and it's all free of charge. Everything's cared for. You get your jacuzzi tub up there, king-size bed, the whole deal." I'm like, what did we do? I mean, we just came in. They gave us great meals. The worship was great. The speakers were great. We had our socks blessed off for 2 straight days, and it was all free. And I thought to myself, what if I wouldn't pull the trigger just because it was outside of my comfort zone? And wouldn't you admit that we work hard to make our lives predictable? I mean, we work hard to stabilize things. We work hard to try to make sure that everything is safe and nice and neat and tidy and within a plan. We want to know what's coming. But if we're honest, God has given us a heart that cries for adventure. God has given us a heart that cries out for challenges and living out on the edge. But sadly, we hold back and we try to protect our hearts with safety and comfort zones. When was the last time you took a risk? I mean, when was the last time you really put yourself out there and stepped out there? When was the last time You tried walking on water. Peter did, and he invites you to do the same. He invites the same for your life this day. So we're going to answer this question. What does it mean to walk on water? Well, Peter would tell you it means stepping out of your comfort zone, number one. Peter would tell you it means stepping out of your comfort zone. If you want to follow along, there's an insert in your bulletin. You can fill in the blank. If that's for you, that's great. If it doesn't help you, no problem. We need to step out of our comfort zone. Why? Because all of us have one. And here's how you know what it is. It's whatever you're unwilling to step out of. I mean, that's your comfort zone. It's whatever you don't want to leave. It's whatever you don't want to see change. It's whatever you want to see remain the same. That is a comfort zone. And so here's the story in Matthew. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. The boat was a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Now, I think we've heard this story so many times, we forget about how amazing this is. And what is the amazing moment? The disciples are in a boat, there's raging seas, and oh, by the way, there's a man outside standing on the water. Okay, even if it is Jesus, it's still amazing. Even if it was God knowingly before your eyes, you'd still be amazed that there's a man. I mean, imagine watching an episode of Deadliest Catch and all of a sudden a fisherman falls overboard and he's just standing on water. Okay, that'd be a little bit strange. That'd be a little bit different. So let that seep into your minds for a second. I mean, I get the sense when I read this, and I know Peter's getting the sense because of his response, that Jesus is about to teach a lesson of faith here. This is a picture that he created all along. I mean, picture the high seas and rolling waves and large winds. And then picture this nice, secure boat with the disciples sitting in it and with Peter sitting in it. It had to be a familiar situation to Peter and the disciples, because just not long ago they were on the Sea of Galilee in the same situation, although Peter realized that Jesus was in the boat that time and he was in the stern sleeping. And so they woke Jesus up, if you remember the story, and Jesus calmed the waves and said, "Why do you have such little faith?" And so Jesus saved the day and everything was fine. And so this time, they kind of have this comfort zone now. Well, they're in a storm, they're in a boat, Jesus saved us the last time, and then Peter looks to the stern, and guess what? Jesus isn't there. Where's Jesus? He's out on the water. And Peter's kind of having this moment where he's kind of going, "Oh my goodness, what are you doing?" And so now all of a sudden, more so than ever, this boat becomes their comfort zone. This becomes the picture of their security. This becomes this place where they've been able to defeat their fears before because Jesus saved them, and there's just no way that they're going to be able to think about stepping out into the water where Jesus is. And it's kind of like my daughter Isabel. This is actually our raft. She was reminding me of that as she was leaving. Isabel's, "Now, Daddy, that's our raft, right? That's coming home?" Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's coming home. And so we put this in our little puddle out back of our house, our little blue pool there. And so I can get her into the water as long as I tell her she's going to sit in the boat. She's real comfortable with that. And she's sitting in the boat and she'll float around the pool and she gets real comfortable with that. And then you can start to see the tension build a little bit when she kind of wants to get out of the boat and into the water, because this is familiar and the water is a little bit unfamiliar. That's because the boat in this story and in her life is a symbol of security in unsecured waters. It's a man-made refuge with a wooden hull that's buoyant that allows us to stay afloat. It's a safe place that these disciples are thinking about. And they're looking over the bow, they're looking over the rail, and they're looking at the water, and they're thinking, man, out there is a rough and risky experience. And like Isabel, they're probably thinking, why get out of a perfectly good boat? Isn't that the question of the day? Why would Peter get out of a perfectly good boat and leave his comfort zone? One of my favorite movies is Jaws, and you remember Sheriff Brady, and he was on the boat. This is the first movie. And he's standing there, and he's chumming the water, and then all of a sudden he sees Jaws for the very first time. Remember that moment? And the cigarette's just kind of dangling in his mouth. This is like one of those famous movie scenes. And he turns around to this crazy captain, and what was the line he says? "We're going to need a bigger boat." What did he mean? He said, "Okay, this boat used to be my comfort zone, but now that I saw how big the shark is, I'm no longer in my comfort zone anymore." He said, "I'm not comfortable in this boat anymore. We need a bigger boat. I need a bigger comfort zone. I need a bigger refuge. I need a bigger place to feel safe." And so what is your boat? What is your life raft that you fall back to when life gets challenging or when the struggles start to come? Or maybe you just naturally lean back on that comfort zone even when life is good so you can feel safe and comforted. so you don't have to face your fears. Maybe it's a routine you've been able to develop and you feel safe in your routine. Maybe it's a relationship that you have, or maybe it's your place of work and that work is such a good routine for you that it keeps you safe and feeling good inside. Or maybe it's a family, or maybe it's when you pray, or maybe it's even quiet time in Scripture. Even good things can become a comfort zone that kind of encase our hearts and keep us from stepping out in faith and stepping out into the adventure. Maybe it's our own personal success. Maybe it's our own ability to rely on our own abilities. What is that safety net for you? What is that boat? What is that comfort zone? In Matthew it says, as the story continues, Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," he said, Jesus says to him. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. I'm thinking, what is he doing? What is he doing? He's getting out of a perfectly good boat. But what we see here has to be the truth. Something happened to Peter on that boat. Jesus didn't ask him to come out on the water. I think we forget this. Jesus didn't invite Peter out in the water. Jesus was standing out there hanging out, right? And all of a sudden, Peter says, "I want to get out of the boat, and I want you to call me out onto the water." And so something must have happened in Peter's heart. I mean, something must have just jumped out of his heart. And he was saying to himself, "You know what? This is not going to happen anymore. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to let this safety confine me. I'm not going to let my comfort zone define me. And I'm not going to let this boat define who I am. I'm going to step out, and I'm going to step out and not let fear win." And we all have these moments where we just kind of say, enough is enough. Fear, you're not going to have any more ownership of me. I'm stepping out. I had one of those experiences just about 3 weeks ago. It was a Saturday morning over at the Parsonage, and the Parsonage barn is in back, and anytime we have a project at the church, it always usually happens at the barn, and so we were in the process of putting together all these decorations. By the way, didn't Lisa Randall and her crew just do an amazing job? Unbelievable. And just amazing. I'm humbled every year. I was telling her, I said, "Well, I wonder, yeah." I said, it's amazing that, it's a good thing there's a year in between Vacation Bible School, let me just tell you that. All right, because you need about a year to recuperate to get yourself to the point where, okay, we're going to do that again? All right. But they did a great job, and so we're out there, and it's a nice, calm day, and we have a wheat field surrounding us right now, and guess what happens on a nice, calm day in the springtime when there's wheat fields out? Mr. Crop Duster comes out in his little yellow plane. This guy's great. And he amazes me the way he flies. And in order to hit the wheat that's right on the edge of our property, he's got to skim our property to get to that wheat. And so we're all standing out there hanging out, and he just starts dive bombing us. It was unbelievable. I mean, I am telling you, I've never stood face to face with an airplane that was going in the air before. And I kid you not, I feel like at one point in time, if I would have reached my hand up, I could have touched the prop. That probably wouldn't have been a good thing. But I also remember that moment where he was coming around the path and he was about to come directly over our heads. And this moment of fear in me said, "You know what, you probably should get out of the way of this plane, even though it's not going to crash on you or anything like that. I mean, what's the worst that could happen?" Well, actually, the worst that could happen would be pretty bad. But I started saying to myself, "Boy, I just probably should not stand here. This doesn't feel right." And then I also felt this voice in my heart telling, "You know what? No, I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to let him fly over my head. Fear, you don't have any ownership over me." And something just inside of me said, "I'm just going to stand my ground." And this plane went right over my head. And then about a meter later or a couple yards later, released his chemicals. I wish it would have been a chemical like to help with kidney stones. He could have dropped it on my head. That would have been great. I'd love that. But he dropped the chemicals, and it was like this exhilarating moment. I mean, I could feel the wind from the prop. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I just stood there. I mean, you ever had those moments where you say, "You know what, fear, you're not going to get the best of me anymore. I'm done. I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to live in this comfort zone. I'm not going to be defined and crippled and paralyzed by what I'm worried about. I'm going to step out." Well, Peter had that moment. And in that process, he discovered and embraced the call of God in his life. And that's what walking on water means for us, discovering and embracing the call of God in your life. You see, Peter tests Jesus. He tests Jesus to see if it's really him, to see if it's really his voice. He says, "Lord, should I step out? I want to, but should I step out? If it's you, I'll step out." And he asks Jesus to allow him to make a bold move. In 1 John, the Bible says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God or not." Why does the Bible direct us to do that? Well, because there's a lot of voices out there. And the voice that takes over the most is usually our own human voice. The voice inside of our heart and our soul and our head that is our own voice that kind of says, in times of risk and in times of danger, to say, "Okay, it's time to get comfortable. I don't know if we should be stepping out." You know, it's the voice that helps us take the path of least resistance. It's usually the voice that, if we listen to it, is the one that wants us to remain in our comfort zone and to stay in the boat. And those are the voices that sometimes come from ourselves. So we need to discern those voices, and that's what Peter's doing in this moment. And he asks boldly rather than cowers back into the comfort zone. And the problem is we listen to our own human voice so much so that when we go to our prayer life, our prayers are limp because we just pray simple human prayers. We don't pray God-sized prayers because, quite frankly, sometimes we don't want those prayers to necessarily come true because they might cause us to take action. They might cause us to step out of our comfort zones. And so what Peter does here is he prays boldly. He says, Lord, call me out. And so today, we want to be like Peter and ask for the risky and step out in faith. And then, like Peter did, ask God to confirm it. Isn't that cool? He asks God to confirm that moment. Peter would suggest to us today that we don't ignore the bold moves that God puts on our heart, but that we ask God to confirm them. And so therefore, what step of faith that does God want you to take out of your own fear today? What step of faith out of your own fear does God want you to take? I mean, maybe it's a crazy thing like adopting a child. Maybe you never thought about doing that before. Maybe it's a major move that you need to make, and maybe you're in a good spot right now, but God wants you somewhere else. Maybe it's going back to school, or maybe some of you are called into full-time Christian ministry. I don't know what it might be, but what is too crazy for you to think that I could never do this? And maybe that's exactly what God's calling you to do. Maybe it's a new career, even though the one you're in right now is working out just fine. I mean, maybe it means opening up to friends like you've never opened up to them before about something going on in your life. I mean, maybe it means ending a relationship that's been unhealthy or redefining a relationship that's been good and needs to go to the next level. I mean, what is that step of faith that God is giving you right now that you need to test the waters on? Sisters and brothers, Peter didn't step haphazardly into the water. I love this moment. He didn't just step out on a whim. He sought God's confirmation and said, Jesus, I feel I should do this. Should I do this? You see, it was a bold move that was on his heart. And he would encourage us to not ignore those bold moves, but to check them out before God. And here's his phrase, God, call me out. Call me out. I've got my own boat moment in my life. I've got my own comfort zones, and it has to do with this church. You know, in July 1, it'll be 4 years for me as a pastor. Now, some of you are thinking, 4 years? My goodness, it seems like about 35, I tell you. My gosh, when is this ever going to end? I hope it doesn't. I hope it doesn't. And that's the point I want to make. For me, it's 4 years. At the end of this next year, it'll be 5 years. And so I begin to start to see things happening in our church. We kind of have been settling down a little bit. The fires have kind of been put out, and we see new faces, and the giving has been there, and the numbers continue to grow, and we've kind of started new groups, and small groups and ministries have been started, and there's kind of this confidence that's building in my heart and other people's hearts that maybe we could just kind of bask in the moment and coast as Old Fort Church. And for me, that's a comfort zone. For me, that's my boat. I mean, we could just kind of bask in this glory and kind of just hang out here, and I'm going to tell you, that's real comfortable. For me, that might be my boat. But I got to tell you right now, this summer, I am praying for God to confirm. I'm saying, Lord, call me out as the pastor of this church. Call me out on what you want to do here. I'm asking you as a church to pray to God to say, Lord, call us out as Old Fort Church. What are you calling us to do? What are you calling us to do out of our comfort zones? And maybe for me, it might be a building project in the very near future. Maybe for me, that's been one of my fears because I've been afraid of debt, or I fear the challenges that come with it, or I just am afraid of the unknown. Maybe for me, that's been the boat that God is calling me to step out of, and maybe that's what it has been for our church too. I want you to pray in the next month or two as Old Fort Church to see what the next 3 to 5 can look like here. What can the next 3 to 5 years look like here at Old Fort Church? I'm praying for God to confirm in me. I'm telling him to call me out. I mean, how many of us ask our friends to call us out? Hey, call me out. Jesus, call me out. I'm praying that you do the same, not just in your personal life, not just in your family, but for our church and for this community. Jesus, call us out. I mean, God calls everyone. He calls everyone to serve Him in a different way, in a different capacity. He not only calls you out of bad situations, He'll call you out of good situations. And sometimes those are the hardest ones to answer the call because you start thinking to yourself, this makes the least amount of sense. Things are going fine here, Jesus. Why are you calling me to this? Well, maybe it is so you can walk on water. Because the last time I checked, Peter was sitting in a perfectly comfortable boat, enjoying his experience in the rough weather. And Jesus called him out of that perfectly good experience into a more stormy experience so that he could build faith in this adventure that he called Peter to. Thirdly, walking on water means experiencing the power of God in your life. I'm going to be honest for some of us here today. I'm going to tell you why God feels so distant in your life. I'm going to tell you why your life feels weak at times, that your life feels powerless, because you never do anything that you're not capable of doing. That's why. Because you never step out enough that God has to show up. you never put yourself out there far enough, and you're never standing out there on the edge enough that if God doesn't show up, you're not going to be able to make it. And so therefore, since we live on our own power, we live on our own ingenuity, on our own wisdom, well then, honestly, God's power never really has to show up, so therefore we never really experience it. When was the last time we stepped out and did something that God had to show up in order for it to succeed? In Matthew, it says this, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, Peter cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You have little faith,' he said. 'Why did you doubt?' And when he climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" And I want you to notice something here. Jesus calls Peter to walk to him on the water. Jesus doesn't walk over to the boat, standing in the water, reach over the bow and grab Peter's hand and invite him into the water. No, when Peter makes the call, Jesus says, "I'm going to stay here. You come to me. You step out into the water. You experience some difficulty and struggle for a while. You see how far you can go on your own power. And then when you can't anymore and you realize that you stepped into something that you can't do, then I'm going to show up and I'm going to show you my power." And in that moment, that's exactly what happens here. So what are you doing in your life right now that God must show up for in order for it to happen? What are you doing right now in your life that He must be there, that His powerful presence is required in order to get the job done? Peter steps out, and all of a sudden Peter realizes very quickly that he can't do this. And then what happens? He panics, right? Panic sets in. You guys ever take those steps of faith, and then all of a sudden you start to question what you're doing once you're doing it, and then you start looking around at the water, the storms around you, and you think, "Why am I doing this? You got to be kidding me. Was I on some narcotics or something? Or was I not myself when I made this choice? What am I doing? What was I thinking?" And that doubt creeps in. And then all of a sudden you realize you're out there and you're stumbling and you're falling. And then what happens? All of a sudden God shows up big time. God shows up big time. He reaches out His righteous right hand and He says, "I know you can't do this, but I can." Jesus says, "I've got this. All you need is faith that I can do this for you." And that's what gets Isabel out of the boat and into the water at our pool, is her dad standing there saying to her, "Listen, I got this. I'm right here with you. Now, I'm not going to help you do this entirely. I'm going to let you get out and walk through the water on your own. But if you stumble and fall, I'm right here for you, and I got a hold of you." And that could be the same thing if we ever thought about doing a building project here at Old Fort Church and going through with it in the near future. I know as a pastor I can't do it, and I don't think this church can do it, honestly. But God can. But God can. When was the last time as a church, as a community, as a family, as an individual, that we did something so great that God had to show up in order for it to be done, in order for it to be successful? When have you stepped out in faith so much so that that was the case and that could be said of your life? If all we do in life is the comfortable, if all we do in life is what we can handle, there's no need for God to show up. So why would He? John Ortberg talks about this very topic that we're talking about today in his book titled, "If You Want to Walk on Water, You Gotta What?" You got to get out of the boat. If you want to experience the power of God, you got to what? Get out of the boat. If you want to walk on water and experience miracles and experience the hand of God, you got to what? Get out of the boat. So what happens when you walk on water? Well, two things. Number one, failure. Failure is going to happen. Failure will happen when you step out in faith and walk on water. The waves are going to slap you in the face. You're going to fail and blow it. And you got to realize that if you're not failing, it's a good sign that you're not out there far enough and you're not risking it enough. And what happens is our fear of failure that keeps us in the boat, because we say to ourselves, "Well, man, if I blow it, what's going to happen then?" Well, here's the reality. If you blow it, you'll be just like everybody else. That's what will happen. You'll be just like everybody else, just like Peter. Because all of us have failed and fallen at some point in time. And when the bottom drops out and you feel like you're about to drown in life, guess who's going to be there? Jesus will be there to pull you back up. In Isaiah, God says this, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my" what? "My righteous right hand." My righteous right hand. I think it's so easy for us, some of us, to criticize Peter, to frown on him because he didn't have any faith in the situation. But I'm going to tell you what, at least Peter stepped out of the boat. At least Peter stepped out of the boat and took that step of faith. And it's a natural part of any step of faith that at some point in time we're going to struggle. And in that moment, guess what he did when he stepped out on faith and stepped out of the boat? He received the hand of God. He received the hand of God in his life, and Jesus lifted him up. So failure will happen, but brilliant successes will happen too. And those will far outweigh any of the risks and dangers and failures in our life. Now, because this is Father's Day, I have got an egregious man moment here. I'm going to talk about golf for a second. Praise the Lord. And Phil Mickelson happens to be my favorite golfer. And Phil Mickelson is this golfer who is a risk-reward shot maker. While other people will lay up with a wedge or lay up with a 9-iron, he goes for the 3-wood and he goes for the green every time. He is not a play-it-safe guy. Now, other golfers are. Now, I would admit to you that because of this, Phil Mickelson has made himself look like a fool from time to time. He has blown leads. He has choked. He's looked silly doing it. He has had horrible losses, and the writers bash him, and the news media bash him for it. But Phil Mickelson also has 3 Masters, and along with that, 3 green jackets. He has a PGA and a Players' Championship, and I hope today he's going to finish off a U.S. Open title. And he will tell you that those victories have always far outweighed the failures. And he's failed more times than you can name. He's failed more times than he's won. But the victories always outweigh the failures. In Matthew it says, take the 1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most, and get rid of this play-it-safe person who won't go out on a limb. Throw him out into the utter darkness. You see, sisters and brothers, the Christian life is a lot like the way Phil Mickelson plays golf. It is a risk-reward adventure. You got to get out of the boat. And when you do, you're going to fail. But unless you do, you'll never experience the amazing success of God doing the impossible through you. You'll never experience the amazing success of God doing the impossible and miraculous in you and through you and with you. And if you have a chance to walk on water with Jesus, pay attention to this question. If you had a chance to walk on water with Jesus, what would you be willing to risk to do it? That was the question Peter asked himself that day. He says, what do I got to lose? I got a chance to walk on water with Jesus. I'm going to take it. Sisters and brothers, today you do have the opportunity to walk on water. How much are you willing to risk to follow the call of God in your life and to not let the comfort zones of life define you? John Ortberg in his book also says, when human beings get out of the boat, they are never quite the same. And that's what happens when you encounter Jesus Christ. When you encounter Jesus Christ, it will have a lasting effect on you. Because if you want to know Jesus as you've never known Him before, if you want to experience in a sense of adventure in your life again, then you will face your fears and step out of that comfort zone. You'll face your fears and you'll step out of the boat and you'll step into the waves of the challenging experience and the adventure and the call of Christ. And that's what Peter wants for you today, for your family today, for our church today, and for our community today. I want to invite our band to come up for a closing song, and with that, here are 3 action steps. You can find these in your insert too. Identify first your boat and the comfort zone you're afraid to step out of. What is it? Name it. I've named it. I've named it before everybody. What is yours? Secondly, ask God what He is calling you to do. Actively look for His voice. Actively look for His voice. Thirdly and finally, take a step into the water and start walking and watch God work and watch for His righteous right hand to pick you up when you feel like you're about to go under or start drowning. I've mentioned things like building projects and that I'm praying about the next 3 to 5 years here at Old Fort Church. And I want to invite you in the next month or two to be praying about the same things. What would you see? What would God see happen in our church in the next 3 to 5 years, in our community, in our families, in our life? As a matter of fact, I've already mentioned our July sermon series is God and Country. Well, here's our August series. It's called 2015. Okay, we just work ahead here, sorry. We've got our August series already planned. It's called 2015. Now, you know the movie that was out 2012, right? 2012. Okay. Well, this sermon series is called 2015. All right. What is life going to look like 5 years from now? And so 1 week is going to be, what will your life look like in 5 years? Next week will be, what will your family look like in 5 years? Third week, what is our church going to look like in 5 years? And what will our community look like in 5 years? And so I want you to be praying in the next month and a half as I develop those sermons, as we put worship together, as we pray about it as a leadership team, and as you pray about it here as part of the church. And maybe you're not a part of the church, pray about it anyways. We'd love to have you be a part of the future of our church. But just keep those things in mind as you pray. Let's stand up, and we've got a closing song, right?
Sure.
Let's do that.
All right.
Hey, before I send you out of here, 2 things to be reminded of. We have prayer tonight at 6 o'clock. Love to have you be a part of that. Okay, kids are on the playground. Hot dogs and brats are outside as you walk out. You don't have to walk downstairs for them. We'll just throw them at you when you walk out the door. Dogs for dads. Hope you have a great week. And I guess all I have to say is get out of the boat. God bless. Amen.